Here we go. Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this June the 15th in the year of our Lord 2018. It's an open mic Friday. What does that mean? You can call in with any question you might have on your mind. St. Louis number is 821-0850. But St. Louis or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. After leaving the studio yesterday, we went to see some shut-ins, and I kind of got a little bit of information. One of them was a farmer, and he has a lot of people working for him. And when I was there, they had just planted the corn. And as I went through, it was up pretty good. And he was talking about, well, he was taking the corn and taking it to the place where he sells it. And I said, I didn't realize that corn grew that fast. I was here last month, and you could hardly see it coming out of the ground. And now you're telling me that you took it to be sold? And then he corrected me that he has a number of buildings that hold corn. What do they call it? Silos? And this was last year's corn that he was putting into trucks and selling. So I learned a little bit about farming. Although I did ask him if he had any sweet corn. He said no, because that's too hard to grow. And I think I know that's too hard to grow. We used to grow it in a backyard when we were living at a parsonage, and the squirrels would come and eat it. You just wonder how farmers keep squirrels and all these other critters out of the fields, but they do a pretty good job. Now, we've been talking about a number of things that you might be interested in. We talked about political identity as the new way of dividing the country. We also talked about yesterday with Wes Reimnitz making a point that there are consequences to sin. And you can start in Genesis 1, go all the way through Revelation. What are we talking about? Consequences to sin. I thought that in Christ we're all forgiven. Well, there's no doubt there is forgiveness of sins, but we want to be really, boy, critical as to what that means. The best word or understanding of forgiveness is that God no longer holds you accountable to pay for your sins. But that is a spiritual blessing. It occurs in the spiritual kingdom, so that when a believer dies and goes to heaven, God does not hold them accountable to pay for their sinful life in going to hell. Heaven is instead your route. But there is no forgiveness when it comes to matters in the secular realm. So I get, and I've talked about this before, let's say I get stopped for speeding, I go to court, and the judge is a member of my congregation, and I say to him, I'm sorry, I repent, and he says, okay, you're forgiven, case dismissed. No way. He may forgive me in his office, but then he fines me appropriately. So we believe, teach, and confess that God imposes negative consequences when people do abominable sins. And what's an abominable sin? It can be a sexual sin, or it can be gossip. It really doesn't matter what the sin is. But a lot of times, it's going to come back and hurt you. All right, as I indicated, you can call us without any problem at 1-800-730-2727. So without further ado, let's go to the phone lines, and we'll talk to James. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Good to talk to you early. What, you get up early?
Yes, I did. I was waiting for today. I knew today's subject would be relevant and good.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like for you to define missiology for me. And once you define that, our questions today is we would like to know when a Bible verse is quoted and used as a validation for a behavior that's not Christian, what might be going on in that situation like that. And
can you give me an example of a Bible verse quoted for immoral behavior?
Well, not so much as immoral behavior, but behavior that is not Christian.
Yes. Can you think of an example that you've heard?
What we are thinking of is our Attorney General Sessions' quote of the Bible verse the other day.
Okay. That was at Romans 13, where you're supposed to obey the government.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And so what we would like to know is what might be going on in a situation like that. Should the Bible have been used in that situation? And should Christians respond with righteous indignation when the Bible verses are used in that way?
Okay. All right. And I know you're going to go back with your friends and listen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. What are we going to be talking about here? Well, let me start with the first one. That was missiology. As I understand missiology, by the way, that's kind of from two words. Missio would mean to send, and it's usually talking about the mission of God. And logia is the word for word. Like, in the beginning was the logos. Jesus was the word. So missiology would be an essay of words about how we do mission. And therefore, for example, when we send missionaries to other countries, we often will bring them to Concordia Seminary St. Louis for a two-week instruction as to the culture of the place to where they are going. Because you don't want missionaries not to understand certain cultures and do something that unnecessarily offends people. So, for example, I remember I was involved with one of them. When you go to the Near East, the missionaries are told, do not be rushing anywhere. Because when people see teachers rushing around, it gives the impression that they don't have control over their life. And they are going to be less likely to be listened to. There are all kinds of cultural things that missionaries need to know when they go to other countries. So, missiology is a very good discipline. It can be misused, of course, if the primary purpose of the mission is not to proclaim Christ and the gospel. If that is left out of missiology, then that would be a bad. All right. Second question. What happens when people quote the Bible and it's really not appropriate for that time? Now, if I recall, and I could be a little wrong on this, Sessions was talking about that they are going to be splitting parents from children of illegal immigrants. So an illegal immigrant comes into the country, they're arrested and they're sent back, but the children are kept. And people are really angry that they're separating the families. Why? Well, the example they gave was, for example, let's say an adult has a 5-year-old child and they go into a grocery store and they steal some groceries. The adult is arrested, the child is not. And so that was kind of the thinking behind this. But he used a Bible verse, and it was from Romans 13 that we are to obey the government. Now, we believe, teach, and confess that that is a very important Bible verse because the government is put into place by God. We're to pay taxes to whom taxes are due, honor to whom honor is done. But the problem with using that verse for anything the government does is that misses the point as to whether or not the government and what they are doing is correct. Hitler could have used that Bible verse and say, well, you Christians, you're supposed to obey the government. So when we arrest Jews, don't be complaining about it, because that's what the government says is supposed to be done, and we put them in concentration camps. See, the Barman Declaration, and that was a number of Christians came together and opposed Hitler on that point. Therefore, I'm not saying that Sessions couldn't have found a more appropriate Bible verse. I'm saying that the one he used was so general that it could be used for anything the government does, and that is simply inappropriate. So if you're talking about, do I have to pay taxes to the government? Then you use Romans 13. Yes. Is the government set up by God? Yes. That's the left-hand kingdom of God. And so that's very important to understand that. But as to this question about dividing parents from children, I just don't understand why they send the adults back to the country they fled from, but allow them to take their children with them. Now, one thing I heard, because this gets complicated, let's say somebody comes from Mexico. According to one commentator, the government then has to phone Mexico and say, we caught this person sneaking into our country. Will you take them back? And sometimes the government say, no. No, we will not take them back. Well, that's a problem. So this is a much more complicated situation. But the fact of the matter is you can make laws that increase lawlessness. What do I mean by that? If adults are under the impression that if I can sneak over into the United States and make sure I bring my children with me, then we're all going to be able to stay there together and become citizens. See, that's a real problem, because that will increase people coming over with their children, not decrease it. So there needs to be a way. Part of the problem we also have here is you've got a lot of individuals who have been waiting for years to become citizens, and then all of a sudden somebody is an illegal alien, and then you're going to give them citizenship in like 6 years, they said. Well, that's not fair to those who have been following the law and doing it properly. That's why I'm not a politician. I'm a pastor. A pastor, most things are black and white. Is Jesus God? Yes. No question about it. Is there a Trinity? Yes. Did he die on the cross? Yes. Did he die to take the punishment of my sins? Yes. Now, there are still many, many questions that we have, but the only reason we have questions about them as a pastor is because the Bible doesn't answer them. For example, there's a passage that talks about a baptism of the dead. There's about 24 options as to what that means, if you go through the history of theology. About half of those options are wrong because they contradict other parts of the Bible. But half of them could be correct, and we're not sure which one it means. When Paul wrote to the church, I think it was Corinth, they understood what he meant by baptism of the dead. But unfortunately, we don't have anybody from that time who can explain to us what was being talked about. And so it's an open question as to what that means. And you can have an interpretation as long as it doesn't contradict another clear part of the Bible. So I'm not saying that everything a pastor is asked is able to be answered real easily. But if it's in the Bible, it can be answered. Being a politician, oh my. Here's the problem with being a politician. Let's say everything that was needed to be done in the country, fixing roads, helping the mentally retarded, all this kind of thing. Let's say that it takes a certain amount of money. And you know how they do it in pies, and then they divide the pies up. Let's say the amount of money that you would need if you put a diagram of a circle on the floor, it would have to be 12 feet in diameter. then you would be able to solve every problem from a money point of view that needs money. Guess how much money the government has? It's not 12 feet in diameter. It's about 6 inches in diameter. So a politician always is doing a compromise. I'll give you an example. There was a husband who divorced his wife. Why did he do that? Well, she needed kidney dialysis. The problem is the amount of money was very expensive. Now, the government paid for those who did not make, I think it was $40,000 a year. Well, he was making over $40,000 a year, and it was like a $200,000 process, so he couldn't afford it. And, of course, because she was married to him, they were making too much money to get a government grant. So he divorced her, and that way she had no money, and she was able to get the money from the government to have the kidney dialysis done. So why didn't the government just say, no, we'll give it to her? Because if they did that, they would have run out of money. They only have so much money for certain areas. It is tough, tough being a politician, except in the areas of morality. No Supreme Court justice should ever have okayed the murder of children in the womb, or that the marriage between a man and a man is a valid marriage. That is not only immoral, but it is an abomination before Almighty God, and it is going to result in a lot of suicides and divorces. And that's what we were talking about yesterday with Wes Reimnitz, in taking a look at the consequences that God brings into the world when we go against his will. So I hope that answers the question. I do believe that Sessions used the wrong Bible verse, and what he could have done is use Bible verses where when you break the laws of the land, then there is problems. For example, they've arrested women who are pregnant. They put them in prison. Guess what? They continue to have their baby in prison, obviously, and many times there are prisons where children are allowed to stay there. So, I mean, there's all kinds of options to take care of this problem in a way that might be more fair. The fairest to me is if somebody comes from a country and they have no real reason of leaving the country except they want a better job, then I could see sending them back with the family. I don't know. I'm not a politician, but it seems like it's so easy to solve this problem. We should have visas for people who want to come over here and work. They don't become citizens, but they can get a visa, come over, make money, and they can do whatever they want with the money. They pay taxes. They can send their money back to the country from which they came, but it gives them a job. And their children can stay with them. They can rent a house. There are a number of aliens, residential aliens, here in the United States that are under that. I don't understand why we don't do that. If the farmers need workers, you know, we're at a point right now because of the policies of the President Trump. What has happened is we now have jobs that can't find people. In other words, there are not enough people to take over the jobs that are necessary. The Post-Dispatch had a really interesting article in it today where there is this company, and what they do, they're a contractor, and they have to set up, for example, fixing roads, etc. You know what they're doing? Because they can't find people to work for them. There's not enough. They are hiring high school seniors who have the ability in drawing up construction diagrams and for roads, for parking lots, and this kind of thing. That is really, really good. There's just no doubt about that. By the way, I do have one email I'm going to need to get to, so I may not be able to get to any more callers right now. But I had promised that I would respond to this email. They thank us for our discussion on communism and identity politics. And sometimes we want to hire the best candidates, but there is discrimination. Sometimes it's intentional, but sometimes it's due to unconscious bias. And then he makes a great point. I think it's part of our original sinful nature to show favoritism to those who we think are like us. And that can be a real problem when you're hiring various people. But then he has this paragraph, and this is really what I want to respond to. I also read that LCMS ranks very low in terms of diversity. It's mostly white men in the LCMS. Why? Should LCMS take action to increase diversity? Are we spreading the good news of the gospel to all races, both men and women? Okay, I'd like to respond to that. I'm not sure what congregations he is talking about. But in a sense, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the last figures I saw, there's actually more women than men in the congregations. And that's because women tend to live longer. Their husbands die, they continue to live, and normally the husband does die before the wife. And then he says that mostly white men. Maybe he's talking about the leadership. Now, in our church, we believe that only males should be pastors. But we have a lot of females who are deaconesses or teachers in our school. Although one of the things that we're having problems with our parochial schools, is we don't have enough trained LCMS teachers, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod teachers. And so they're trying to work a way to help that. But here's the question. Should LCMS take action to increase diversity? I tell you, I was in a congregation and the majority of people that were coming into it were black people. How did I do that? I didn't. I simply was on the radio, and that's what brought in some of them. But I just simply preached Christ and Him crucified. And I had no idea whether in the next adult instruction class I would have a majority of black or a majority of white. There's no way that we can preach the good news to different races in order to get more of them to come. But the only area where diversity does make a difference, and you need to be very sure about that, is in language. For example, if I lived in a neighborhood where there were a lot of Hispanics and they only spoke Spanish, I would try and set up a Spanish worship service. So that would be a way in reaching out because they don't understand English, some of them, okay? But outside of language, I don't think you need to change your message at all when you're talking to different races, different nationalities, and so forth. So we spread the gospel to the whole world. And you can't believe how many people have come into the Lutheran Church, not only because of KFUO, but specifically, I've got some 400 since I've been on the air here, 22 years, who have become Lutheran. And Issues, etc. is way beyond me because of their outreach for so long. And the kinds of guests and subjects they have. And I don't think Todd at all thinks about, well, let's have a program just for this race. No, we leave it up to the Holy Spirit. We also answer questions, and the question we're answering Monday is, why does God allow suffering? Just so happens that one of the readings is from the book of Job and will help us answer that. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.